open his word tonight. If you would open your Bible to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1 tonight. I'm going to start reading in verse number 6, and then we're going to flip over to another chapter tonight and read a little bit. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." This is so important that Paul repeats it again the next verse. "As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed." And let's flip over tonight to chapter number 3 and read just a few verses of scripture tonight, starting in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the precious word of God. I thank you for the opportunity tonight to be able to stand and open up your infallible word. Lord, we're nothing. You've been so good to us. I'm blessed beyond what I deserve. And I give you thanks for it. I love you tonight. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. For background reading, if you want to go back to chapter number 13, 14, and 16 of the book of Acts, it will lay a good foundation for the context of our scripture tonight. I want to start tonight the way the Apostle Paul addresses the church at Galatia. He said, "Paul, an apostle," and note what he says, "not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Notice he said churches. Now I emphasize for you tonight, if you would, to go back and study chapter 13, 14, and 16 of the book of Acts to get background. This was the first and second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, for which he established the churches. In the book of Acts, it said that not only he established them, but he also ordained elders for each one of those churches. Amen. Now, the things that the Apostle Paul faced on that journey was opposition of the Jews, and it was all concerning the law. Right. And you see that from Galatians chapter number 3. They resisted him. But what caused them to resist him first was the fact that the Gentiles wanted to hear the gospel of the grace of God. And when they saw everyone coming to the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas was with him also on the journey, they got jealous of him. and they came against the Apostle Paul. But Paul established these churches on the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. I want to say tonight how important it is that the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith is important. Nothing added to it, nothing taken from it, but only the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless Christ be esteemed, our preaching, our labors are in vain. The Apostle Paul was afraid about this church. And he said, you did run well, but said, who hath hindered you? Who? And he points the finger that it was somebody there that had done it. And so in the first verse of Galatians chapter number 1, he asserts his authority of a God-called apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say tonight that Paul was the last of the called apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the last one that was called of God to be an apostle. I do not believe tonight in apostolic succession because our Bible does not teach that. He rebuked the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is about chapter number 11. He said that there was false prophets, false teachers that were in the church that transformed themselves into apostles. They transformed themselves, not God called. And I'm thankful tonight that our Lord Jesus Christ said unto the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2, he said that they tried those that said they were apostles and were not and found them liars. And so they did not have that authority. They did not have that power. But something transpired in the church at Galatia. May I say tonight that there's persuasion tonight in the mouths of people that people are swerved away. And I'm going to say it like this in the context of the scripture. As Paul was teaching here and preaching here at the church and writing this letter, the Bible said that Paul the apostle, that when Peter was come to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame. Yeah. The apostle Paul, or Peter rather, would sit down and eat with the Gentiles, but when the Jews would come into the room, he would dissemble himself and separate and go to the Jews. Listen, in Jesus Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. And I'm grateful for that tonight. Praise God tonight that God had mercy tonight on us Gentiles to save us by his grace. And Paul withstood Peter because of that. And listen, this persuasion that came inside this church was so strong that Barnabas, the one that came through at the Galatia to establish these churches, was also drawn away with Peter to stand with the Jews. May I say tonight that that's wrong in the sight of God? Listen, we're one tonight in Jesus Christ. I don't care if we're red, yellow, black, or white. If we're born into the family of God, we're one in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm saved by the grace of God tonight. And I don't care what color you are. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're my brother or you're my sister in Jesus Christ. And we can fellowship around that right there. We can fellowship about our Savior. Just like this morning when the power of the Holy Ghost moved into this place, I told my wife that is sitting here this morning, and when God moved in this place, I felt that river of living water, just like the woman at the well. When our Lord Jesus Christ said that if you'll take and drink of this water, it'll be a well in you springing up into everlasting life. I'm telling you, there's something tonight that's special about the presence of the Holy Ghost. The last time I preached, Jesus, remember I preached from the scripture that Jesus said that is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. That's important tonight. Listen, I live by the Comforter living inside of me. There's not a person tonight in this building that's not going through some type of hardship, some type of trouble, anxiety, anything in your life. But let me tell you something. The power of the Holy Ghost will help you get through that tonight. Praise be unto God. Glory to His precious name. I want to get back tonight. I don't want to chase a rabbit. I've got a lot tonight on my heart that I want to say. The Apostle Paul is rebuking this church. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. I believe that Paul established them in the faith. It's important tonight for us to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Do you believe tonight that you're saved and saved forever? Say, yes, preacher, I do. Tell me how and why and where in the Bible it says that. Oh, it's important that we get rooted in the doctrines that's in this Bible. Listen, Paul established them in the grace of God, and he preached it under them. If you go back to the book of Acts and study, you'll see where Paul preached unto them that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Isn't that what he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15? He said, that which I also received, how that Christ died for us according to the scriptures, and was buried the third day according to the scriptures, and resurrected the third day according to the scriptures. I'm telling you, there's some things here tonight that I was studying. I've been studying all week long. Matter of fact, the past week I've been studying from the book of Galatians. And there's some things that stood out to me. And our pastor preached this morning, and he used this morning, that Paul, he from the Bible, he took these Galatians to the scriptures. He said, thus saith the scripture. He said this right here. He said, it is written. He said, the scripture has concluded. Over and over and over, the Apostle Paul recited unto them the scripture. May I say tonight that there's no greater book in the world? Listen, I've said this so many times, you'll probably get tired of it. But this book right here is a light unto my feet. It's a lamp unto my path. Listen, it shows me tonight where I'm standing. It shows me, thank God, where I'm going. It shows me where I'm going to spend eternity. Without this Bible tonight, I would not have a light to guide me. Thank God tonight for His precious, infallible, inert, eternally preserved Word of God. Somebody said, preacher, I could just tear that Bible up. I could just tear it all to pieces and throw it away. You can do that, but thanks be unto God, there's a copy of it sitting in heaven tonight. Listen, He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Listen, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's a Word that was in flesh. Listen, I've got the written Word of God tonight. And oh, listen, I bank my soul. A preacher asked this, do you believe this book? I believe every jot and every tittle. Do I understand it all? No way. I don't, but I believe it tonight because God preserved this book for us. Now I want to show you tonight the scripture that really jumped out to me. And you know tonight that this is all about the grace of God and all about the law. And that's what they were doing in the church. Somebody had came in and said, it's all right to get saved, but oh, you need to turn around and do this and keep this part of the law. Do this part of the law. Do that part of the law. Listen, all that does is pollute the gospel of the grace of God. That's why Paul sent out the warning that if anyone comes and preaches unto you another gospel, which Paul said, which is not another gospel. It's not. It's corrupting the Word of God. It's corrupting the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this scripture right here jumped out to me and spoke to my soul. I'm telling you, God gave me a nugget from His Word, and I thank Him for that. He said in chapter number 3 and verse number 8, He said, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel," look at this, "unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." And I want to bring some thoughts tonight along that line, that before God, foreseeing that He would justify, we know tonight from studying the Bible that none of us can be justified by the law of God. It is an impossibility. You can't be justified by keeping. I've witnessed to people and said, "Well, I just keep the Ten Commandments, or I'll just live by the golden rule, or I'll just let my heart, my conscience be the guide." Listen, that's no guiding stick tonight. Our heart's deceitful tonight. It's desperately wicked. You can't be guided tonight by your heart. Oh, listen, our flesh tonight is corrupt. It's deceitful. Don't put any confidence in the thing that you look at every morning in the mirror. You can't put confidence in the flesh. But oh, I can put confidence in what this book says. I can do it with all my heart, with all my soul. I'm going to tell you, this book speaks to me. When I'm wrong, and the Word says I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. And I've got to apologize to God. And I've got to confess to God and get it clear with God, or my conscience and my heart tears me all to pieces. I'm thankful for our pastor tonight that is just hounded and hounded and hounded. And he can keep on hounding it on 1 John 1 and 9 and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's helped me. I'm thick-skulled. I tell you, I have to have things beat inside. I don't know how many times I read this and studied it, went through it before it finally, a little bit of it started sinking in. Thank God for it. God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and said, "I want you to go out and look for a place." And He said that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. I'm going to multiply your seed as the sand by the seashore. Oh, listen tonight, those stars and that sand is all of us sitting here tonight, that in Abraham and in his seed, we are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed of God tonight. I began to study the scripture and study throughout the Word of God, study throughout the Bible. I began reading through this, and the Apostle Paul, he said this right here. He said, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Did you know this tonight? That the promise that God made to Abraham was 430 years before the law. Look what he says right here. Verse number 17 of chapter number 3. He said, "In this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Amen. For the inheritance, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise." Can I preach a little bit tonight about the promise? Oh, listen, there's a difference tonight in the law of God and the promise of God. The promise tonight's an eternal promise. The Almighty God called Abraham,
told him he would bless him. He would bless him that blessed them and curse them that cursed him. He said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Him and Sarah came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and that was his wife, and Sarah was barren. And she saw that she was barren. Couldn't have any children. God had closed her womb up, and so Sarah took charge. And I want to say something. All of this is in the design of God. Amen. It don't look right to us. It don't sound right to us, but all this is by design. Sarah said, I want you to go into my handmaid, Hagar. Abraham, go. I can't bear you a child. Go into her. And Abraham went in. And she bore. She got pregnant. And when she did, she despised Sarah. And Sarah was despised in her eyes. No, I want you to see the big picture tonight. And she gave birth unto Ishmael. Oh, listen, Ishmael, God would hear. God would hear. Listen, follow this tonight in our precious word. The Almighty God, there was three men that came to Abraham. And Abraham saw them and he realized that these were godly men, the angels of the living God. And their commission was to go and to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham went to Sarah and said, I want you to get some things together, and said, I want you to fix a meal for them. And while they stood there, I believe it was the presence of the Son of God standing before Abraham. And he said, listen, Sarah, thy wife is going to bear you a son. You know what Abraham done? He laughed. He laughed. Sarah heard it in the tent, and Sarah laughed about it. And they said, about this time a year later, we're going to visit you. And Abraham got on his face before God and said, I'm 100 years old. It's past my time. It's past Sarah's days. How can this be? And it said this, with God all things are possible. I could about get sideways with that. Nothing's impossible with God. And Sarah got pregnant just like the Lord said she would. And said this right here. Said when he's born, said you call his name Isaac. Laughter. Because they laughed about it. Oh, listen. These two got together, Ishmael and Isaac. And they just could not mix together. They couldn't play together. They couldn't fellowship together. They couldn't mingle together at all. As a matter of fact, Ishmael got rough with Isaac. And Sarah saw it, was mocking him and making fun of him. And she went to Abraham and said, I want you to kick Hagar and Ishmael. Get them out of this house. Get them away from my son Isaac. They're going to have none inheritance with my son Isaac. Oh, this is a great picture in our Bible of the law of God and the grace of God. They cannot be mingled together at all. We're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing else, minus nothing else. Bible said this, that it come down to time for Abraham to die. Our pastor, I think it was Wednesday night, he talked about Jacob. And he talked about how the firstborn was the one that got the inheritance. But when Ephraim and Manasseh were brought before him, Jacob crossed his hands and put the blessing on Ephraim instead of Manasseh being the firstborn. The Bible said this, that Abraham gave unto Isaac all things, everything. Ishmael's the firstborn. That blessing should have went to Ishmael. But instead, it went to Isaac. And it said that unto the other children that were in the family, the other sons, he gave gifts to them and sent them away. That's why he's called the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Because it was through that seed, you trace that seed all the way down through David, all the way down to the seed of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, he gave that in the scripture here. He gave it in the Word of God. And I want to try to read that to you tonight. The Apostle Paul says this right here. He said, my little children, in chapter number 4, if you want to read that with me. Verse number 19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The Galatians had been deceived. The churches in Galatia had been deceived. They'd been carried away. That's why the Apostle Paul said in chapter number 1, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ under another gospel. That's why I said in chapter number 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Oh, listen. That word bewitched carries with it the definition of alluring away. Preacher, maybe you remember this. I remember this well. Because I was seeking the face of God about the call to preach. Young people went down before, went to Sand Mountain Bible Camp. Maybe I've told you this. If I have, I'm just telling it again so you'll know I didn't forget it. And man, I'm telling you what, our young people went down, had revival, came back on fire for God. And so our pastor, Brother Lawson, said, we're going to get the adults down. They're going to have revival. Let's go down there and hear them. And I'm telling you, the first night we went in there, they began to sing. And I'm thinking the power of God came down in that place. And I thought, my goodness, how in the world am I going to be able to stand this for the next several days? I'm telling you, it got filled up in that place. God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, moved into that place. And then the preacher got up and said, I want to invite so-and-so to come down to preach. And here went that peacock strutting down. Got up in the pulpit, opened the Bible, and started preaching on John the Baptist and said he was the first Baptist preacher. Killed it all. I'm telling you, it died. It absolutely died in that place. It was so bad that I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, I can't stand this. Let's go to the tent and get on our face and pray. And we did. We got down there and started praying and seeking the face of God. And God came down inside that little tent. Listen, God can fill this building with the power of His Holy Spirit. God can fill a little bitty tent with the power of the Holy Ghost. God can fill your car while you're going down the road on your way to work. The Holy Ghost can fill that place. God bless your heart. He can move inside you and He can fill you to overflowing. I believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. And inside that tent that night, seeking the face of God and the power of God coming down, and it dead up yonder in that place. I didn't know if it's still dead. I don't know how long we stayed and prayed. But while I was on my knees, God said, you're going to have to preach. You're going to have to preach. I'm telling you, He pounded it in my heart. I couldn't hardly stand it over and over and over. I didn't even tell Shelly till we got halfway back to the building. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I think I'm going to have to preach. And when I said that, the glory came down again, preacher. Man, I'm telling you what, it was incredible. Came back just a Sunday or two later. September 21st, 1981, Preacher Lawson stood up and preached on Jonah and said, you're going to run over here. You're going to run to Nineveh. You're going to run to Joppa. You're going to run here, run there. There's no place you can hide for God, from God. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and dealt with me. And Brother Barry, you remember this. I came down to the altar and Brother Barry put his arm around me and said, are you ready to surrender? And I'm telling you what, I put our family through misery for about a year and a half running from God. Let me tell you tonight, you can't run far enough from God. You make your bed in hell, he's going to be there. You fly to the moon, he's going to be there. If God puts his hand on your soul to preach, you're going to have to preach. He's going to live in rebellion. I said, I'm ready to surrender. And I surrendered my life on this side of the church, right over here. And prayed and said, God, I give myself to you to preach your word. And I stood up. The preacher asked me what happened. And I said, I surrendered the call to preach. Everybody said, amen, praise God. Some of them said, what took you so long? And Brother Lawson said, you preach Wednesday night. Man, I tell you what, I wanted to go hide somewhere. I did. I really did. Let me say something tonight. I wouldn't trade the call to preach his word to be the president of this country or to be the richest man in the world. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. There's been times that I've fallen flat on my face preaching. Get tongue twisted, tied, and everything else. Would to God there's a trap door that I could just sneak out of this place. But I'm telling you, when God puts a word on your heart and delivers it from your soul in the power of the Spirit of God, there's nothing that even comes close to the feeling of that right there. It's a fulfillment. And go home. You preachers know what I'm talking about. You go home and you just drop exhausted. War plumb out. But it's a good exhaustion. It's a good being tired. And Paul established them on the grace of God. He got them straight on their doctrine. And somewhere they swerved. I've got to say this tonight. I've got to say this. And Brother Barry knows, and if I said it, that these churches that I know, I've known the pastors of those churches. And some of them have gone on and passed away. And the people of that church have persuaded the new pastor of that church to change. Brother Barry, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And they've changed from the old-fashioned preaching of God's word and preaching the gospel of the grace of God that now they got themselves a worship leader. Where did that come from, a worship leader? I don't believe in a worship leader. Let the Holy Ghost be the leader. All it is a bunch of drum beating, pounding on the organ, swaying and dancing, wearing little wings on their back. Yeah. Coming dressed to the church with their shorts all the way up to their rear end, their cheeks hanging out. That's not godly. Go visit that church and stand at the door. Men standing there with shorts all the way up. I'm telling you, it's a disgrace in the sight of God. And listen, the man that started that church that's in heaven right now, I'll guarantee you that if he had the ability, he'd be screaming at the disgrace that place has become. And that's not the only place. Giving in to peer pressure. I never want to be a puppet in the hands of the people. Say, preacher, you make me mad. Good. That tells me I'm doing something right. I made a lot of people mad at me. Just get in line. Stand in line. You're not the only one. And I'm going to tell you, if you stand for the truth of this Bible and preach it like it is, people are going to get mad at you. Some of them are a bunch of big babies. You got to stick a little pacifier in their mouth to make them happy. Pat them on the back. That's what they're... Oh, the preacher didn't shake my hand. He didn't even look at... He didn't even speak to me today. My good... Grow up. Get you some backbone. Get established in some... It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul got them set right, but somebody came in with them slick sounding words. That conniving little tongue. Oh, they may sound intelligent and eloquent and all that stuff right there, but that don't mean they're godly and right in the scriptures. No. Just like that Baptist brider stood up. I'll never forget that. Killed the Spirit of God. I'm glad there was enough people in that church to discern. I remember years ago, there's a preacher come here and preached many years ago. I'm not going to say what he said. I'm not going to say it. But I know this, that the statement he made killed the Spirit of God in this church. And you know what our precious pastor done the next Sunday we met? He said, I'm so glad that there's enough people in this church that could discern the truth being preached and it not being preached. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I'm telling you, people can be persuasive. Let me ask you tonight, what if a Mormon, what if a Jehovah's Witness knocked on your door tomorrow and wanted to come in? Would you know what to tell you? Would you know what to say? I tell you what, to turn them off real fast. I said, you go to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1 and go home and get your Strong's Concordance out and study that and come back next week and then we'll have a conversation. In the beginning, God. That means more than one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They don't believe that. Needless to say, they never come back. We had a neighbor. She used to be a Baptist, was faithful Baptist. And listen, Baptist is not the only way. I'm not throwing off on Baptist. But she got sick, got in the hospital, and not one person from that church called her, come visited her, or had prayer with her. But there was a Mormon came and visited her. And that Mormon came and visited her. You know where she wound up? In the Mormon church. Now, she should have been more established than to know better than that. But people can be slick with a tongue. And somebody got in here and corrupted these churches at Galatia. And said, Paul said, I'm going to have to reestablish you again. Is that not what he says? Let me get back. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I want to read this tonight and I'm going to come to a close. I desire to present, to be present with you now. And look what he says, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you.
Wonder how Paul would change his voice. Maybe like I yell and scream. I don't know. He said, tell me ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. The bondmaid was Hagar. The free woman was Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born, listen to this, after the flesh. But the one of the free woman was, listen to this, by promise. Well, I can't emphasize tonight how special that promise was that God. Listen, if God makes you a promise, he's going to carry that promise out. He said, which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, that's the one of Moses, the law, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is a mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, listen to this, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. That's who we are tonight. We're children of that promise. But he, then that is, was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, and the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. What could be a better picture tonight of the gospel of the grace of God? Did you know that Christ became a curse for us?
Yes.
Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yes.
In the book of Deuteronomy, it said this. Listen, if I had to live under the law tonight, I wouldn't even be here tonight. I was a rebellious son. I'd have been stoned to death years ago. But the scripture said this, that person that's cursed and hung on a tree cannot hang on that tree all night. He told the Israelites to bury him that same day. Why? Because it's a curse. And Jesus Christ was cursed for all of us tonight. He took that curse. He fulfilled that law, every jot and every tittle.
Amen.
Every bit of it. And so we're the free. Paul said in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Get rid of that doctrine. Kick it out of your church. Turn back to Christ. I want to say tonight that anything that's preached, doesn't matter who it's from, if it adds anything to the gospel or takes anything away from the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's accursed. It's accursed. Now, I know my message tonight was just a lesson, wasn't it? But I hope and pray tonight that'll exhort you to go home and read your Bible and study it. I'm telling you what, God's blessed me the last weeks in studying his word. He's shown me things that I've not seen. I praise God for that, and I'm thankful for it. That's my message, Father. Take what little bit I said tonight. I pray, God, you'd use it for your honor and for your glory. And Father, may we all tonight in this building that are saved by the grace of God get established in your word, get it settled in our heart, to know what we believe and why we believe it, and the scripture to back that up. I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's someone here in this building that does not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I pray, oh God, tonight that this would be the night that you'd set them free by the grace of God. They'd come and receive Jesus Christ, the gift that we don't have to pay for. It's already been paid. No money can buy it. We can't earn it. Christ paid that debt for us. Let them receive that gift tonight. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Preacher, you come on.